So number one in the decision, it is a decision on the Huey Duck license rule markup. So do you want to take that?
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Vice Chair. Joanna is going to lead us through that discussion, so I'll turn that over to her.
Thank you.
Thank you, Director. Good morning, Commissioners. Thank you very much for having me here. For the record, this is Joanna Ivey. I'm the Criminal Justice Liaison and the Rules Coordinator for the agency. Today, I've brought before you the Huey Duck license rules for rule adoption, and you received a briefing and a public hearing during the August Commission meeting on these rules. At that time, industry did come and testify and notify the Commission that they were in discussions with the Department regarding some changes that they had a small concern to address. I'm happy to report that that concern was addressed via some small adjustments to WAC 2262-01901. And essentially the only change is that we removed any references to Huey Duck diver licenses out of subsection 4, and that addresses OSHA requirements. OSHA requirements do apply to Huey Duck fishery license holders, but not directly to Huey Duck diver license holders. Though Huey Duck diver license holders do have some responsibilities in complying with those standards just because of the way things function in the industry.
Joanne, so, let me interrupt for a second. Who just joined us?
This is Jay Holzmiller.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Holzmiller. I'm sorry, continue.
No worries, thank you. So industry is very happy with the changes that we made, and they're happy with the rules as a whole, and they support their adoption. And I just wanted to remind you again that WAC 2252-01905 is a more permanent rule and will take effect on January 1st. So we'll have a delayed effective date for that one. WAC 2252-01904 is more of the kind of, in quotations, temporary rule that will handle the onboarding of the changes based upon the license limitation, basically, to 77 Huey Duck diver licenses issued per year by the department. So that one we will likely be coming back to you to repeal after it's no longer needed after the first of the year. The technical changes to WAC 2252-01901 will also take effect 31 days after filing, along with 2252-01904. I know that's a lot of numbers, so if you guys need any clarification, please let me know. But I'm happy to answer any questions you might have, and we respectfully request adoption.
Thank you, Joanne. Commissioners, any questions for Joanne?
Mr. Vice Chairman, Commissioner Smitten?
Yes.
Oh, Joanne, first of all, good briefing. We've had one session already, and it's obviously an interesting subject, and I've been a long proponent of limited entry. Got two questions, and then they're associated, not directly dealing with the WAC changes. One, what's the annual cost of the diver's license? We're given an exclusive right to a very valuable resource, and what do they pay annually for this right?
Unfortunately, I don't have those numbers right in front of me at the moment, and they are in our statute. If you give me a moment just to look that up, I'd be happy to do that.
Why are you looking? Maybe I'll just put out the other one. I noticed in 2252-01901, the commercial Huey Duck harvest license, that if there's a penalty dealing with diving safety, the director can immediately suspend the license until the violation is corrected, and may not revoke the license. The director may not revoke a Huey Duck fishing license if the holder harvesting agreement corrects the violation within 10 days. I guess that's duplicate. My question is, what section of the code do we actually have the penalty schedule? Things such as overfishing, fishing outside the permit area. I assume they fall somewhere else in the violation code or whatever it would be called.
So I guess, are you asking about any sort of like criminal violation that they might face for fishing outside the area?
Yes. If how do we impose overfishing, fishing outside the permit area? I don't think there's a size limitation, but that type of penalty, where is that in our code?
So that so all of our criminal violations are in 7715. So, hold on just a second. I'm trying to navigate through my web pages here, and I'm doing all sorts of crazy stuff. So bear with me just for a moment. So that's in 7715, and that would be treated as a commercial fishing violation if that was in fact identified. Obviously, there are challenges identifying those problems, especially considering that all of the harvest of gooey ducks in this fishery happens underwater, so they're hard to see. But if in fact there was the ability to identify that, then we would then be able to impose a violation for a commercial fishing violation underneath our general rules, statutes. And a lot of those appear kind of in the higher numbers of 7715. There's 7715-522, which is unlawful use of shellfish gear for commercial purposes. We've also got commercial fishing, violation of commercial area or time, which is 7715-550. So those would be the sort of violations that would apply to them. And those range as far as severity are concerned. Usually they're gross misdemeanors. If you do a first-degree violation, then it would be a Class D felony. So, and as far as the suspension of the gooey duck fishery license, so that's kind of a weird little difference there. The remedy that the gooey duck fishery license would have if there were to be a violation of diver safety regulations, then the director could then suspend the gooey duck fishery license holder. The gooey duck fishery license holder can remedy this by either fixing the violation or by firing the gooey duck diver license holder. So there's a pretty strong incentive for the gooey duck diver license holder not to violate those things. And generally, most of the time, it is the gooey duck diver license holders that are out on the boat, and the gooey duck fishery license holders are not actually present. There are, of course, exceptions to this. Some gooey duck fishery license holders also hold gooey duck diver licenses. So I hope that answers your question a little.
I don't mean to take a lot of time. The only reason is that this is such a valuable resource. You know, we need to hear illegal crime organizations being involved, people fishing at nights, people fishing in unpermitted areas. There is so much money to be made. I just wanted to feel comfortable that the department has the wherewithal to assess any violation that we have. And then the second one on the cost, giving 77 people this right, which I'm totally in favor of, I would think that we would have a fairly substantial annual cost for that right.
It is fairly substantial. Hold on. And I was looking up that information for you. So those costs are delineated out in Chapter 7765, and the first statute I looked at was not the one that I wanted, so I can pull that up for you. But if you'd like, what I
can do is... I do have...
Okay. All right, thank you. I'm sorry for navigating through this a little bit clunkily, if that's even a word.
Mr. Vice Chair, this is Phil. I do have those costs.
Thank you, Director.
For resident, the fee is $255. For non-resident, it's $365. In 2013, we issued 72 resident licenses and 6 non-resident licenses.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair.
Any other questions for Joanna? Okay. Hearing none, do we have a motion? Could I have a motion, please? Yes. Commissioner Ecker.
I move to adopt the changes as proposed by the department, including floor amendments.
Thank you. Do I hear a second? That was a second?
Commissioner Smitten will second.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Smitten. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion passes.